Ted, we're losers, man. We're in this room. We're trying to do a podcast, and every time we realize we don't have time. And look at this. We're out of time. Thanks for listening to the podcast, everybody.
It's like, all right, we got a hard 30 in us.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Rock Hard Ted 30. Smith
and Steve Mitz. You are now entering
the MegaCast.
Big Z, I feel like Triple H. I just want to scream and like spit water.
I want to see it. I want to see you do it, baby. Let's freaking go. Let's go. Let's go.
Crawl out. Wearing my Mickey Ward shirt. Like, let's fight.
1997, bitch. Mickey Ward. He's a boxer, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg played him in that movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nice.
He had some legendary fights against this one other dude. So, like, back in the day when I was training for boxing, I watched a lot of his fights.
Okay, I was going to ask you, like, who's your all-time favorite boxer?
Oh, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Dude, great pick.
He's also a PG County guy.
I freaking my all-time favorite is Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
that,
well, yeah.
I mean, dude, I mean, we are, well, we... You might have been a little too young, because you're a few years younger than me. Not much.
Not much. I always forget. What am I? I'm 42.
I'm 48.
Right. I was saying, so 6 years. I'm always like, Steve's like 2 years older than I am. And then
I'll take
it. But like Cobb says, you're aging in reverse. You're like Benjamin Button.
I'm Steve Button, baby. Migsy Button.
That should be your new wrestling name.
Migsy Button. Let's go. I know, dude. I was telling somebody about like.
Touch it. Touch the Migsy Button.
Touch the button. There's two of them. You got it. Yeah. I was telling one of the guys, like, we were just BSing about the whole AEW experience when I got to wrestle at AEW. And I was like, it's just crazy to be someone in your 40s, start training at 40. And then next thing you know, you're on one of the biggest wrestling companies in your 40s. Like, that should have never happened. Like, that'll never not blow my mind. Like, that never should have happened to me. But, like, the fact that it did was such a testament to great timing and a lot of hard work. And he just looked at me and goes, oh, I thought you were my age. I'm like, well, how old are you? He's like, I'm 38. And I was like, yeah. He's like, that just blew. He's like, I honestly did not hear anything else you said after you said you started training at 40-ish. Because he's like, I didn't even think you were in your 40s. I was like, I love hearing that. Thank you.
Seriously.
But did you grow up getting to see Mike Tyson fight? Like, in his early, like...
So I was, right, so that's where those 6 years will come into place.
Yes.
Like, we had an aunt, one of my mom's sisters had HBO or Showtime, okay. Whatever his fights were on.
Yeah.
So I remember as a kid, like, I remember the Sphinx fight.
Yes.
Because I remember the Sphinx guy looked so scared. He was like pale, but he is a black man.
And then it went like 91 seconds that fight.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
But like the one he lost to Buster Douglas, like I remember being in my aunt's house, but I fell asleep before it came on and like woke up to everybody screaming.
So the Sphinx fight, I remember. So we would always go to our neighbor's house. I call him Uncle Patty. He was not my uncle, but like their family was like our uncle.
Yeah, we do that. Yeah.
Their kids were like my cousins. Like we were all, but we would go to his house because they would pay whatever amount of money it was at the time to get the pay-per-view of that fight or whatever it was. And I remember him being so pissed off. He said, I spent all this money and there was only 91 seconds. And I'm like, that was amazing. He's like, no, it wasn't. I'm like, because I'm a Mike Tyson fan. And I'm like, I want to just see him wreck people. Man. And then when the Buster Douglas fight happened, I remember getting to watch that at home because that one was on, I think, HBO.
Right.
And we had HBO at my house, so we were watching it, and he lost, and I was devastated. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I was struggling not to cry. It was like watching my favorite team lose in the Stanley Cup Finals in Game 7 in overtime. Like, you know, because you're just so, Buster Douglas, this guy's a chump. Mike Tyson's going to eat him alive. And then he lost. You're like, what the F just
Wasn't
happened?
Wasn't that fight in like China or Japan or something? I feel like it was in Asia.
I think it was in Japan.
All right.
I think. I could be, I, you know, I'm sure somebody would correct us, but you know. Google's not our friend right now. But
same thing. I remember falling asleep. I woke up because everybody was screaming. But again, like, and sometimes I have to remind myself too with 10 p.m. when you're like in the second or third grade is late.
That's really hard to stay up that late.
Right.
Yeah.
But I remember in the playground the next day at recess or like the next Monday, like doing impressions of like him trying to, he tried to get off the mat and he fell back down. So I remember all that stuff.
But he was such a badass. He'd come out with just the black trunks, the black shoes, with the white towel over his head. Like, he's just like, I'm ready to murder people. Like, there was no pomp and circumstance to Mike Tyson.
No.
Everything about him was so badass. And I just was like, I look back and I'm like, People don't realize because they don't know him as the guy who bit someone's ear off. A lot of people who are younger than us.
I watched that fight at my buddy Josh Furkett's house.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
But I was like, do yourself a favor and just go on YouTube and watch some of those old ESPN Mike Tyson in his early days when he was first like just becoming a name. And it's like watching a pit bull with boxing gloves on.
You still watch boxing?
Not as much as I used to, man. I used to, because when you said Sugar Ray Leonard, that was my other guy.
Yeah.
I love that guy. Did you hate Marvelous Marvin Hagler then?
No, we just love Sugar Ray because he was from PG County. It would take me a while to find on my phone. There's a picture of him, me meeting him as a baby because I was in the hospital.
Did he baptize you?
No, I had.
One day you'll be a boxer, Ted.
I had like the whooping cough or something. I don't know.
Were you a juggalo when you were a kid?
I was just in a bubble for a few weeks.
Were you really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember. Whoop. Right? But there's a picture of like Sugar Ray Leonard saying hi to my mom at the hospital.
Oh my gosh, dude.
And then I still watch like if I have a Friday night where I'm doing nothing, like I watch Friday night fights. Sometimes on Saturday nights, like I forget who I was watching 2 weeks ago, but a couple good Mexican boxers just going at it. I love De La Hoya.
Yeah, he was great.
Mayweather to me is arguably one of the best boxers of all time. But I wouldn't call him a fighter. And he's very good at the sweet science. He knows how to slip punches. I mean, he is what he is.
But, dude, I'm a Mike Tyson fan through and through. That is not my style of boxing.
Well, that's
where you play, where you're using defense. And, like, I mean, look, Mayweather is great, but, like, I just found him boring. But, like, you're right. He's probably arguably the greatest boxer of all time.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's why I used to, like, I mean, look, I'm a boxing nerd, but, like, people forget, like, De La Hoya was a fighter.
Yes.
Like, he had one fight where he was running around, and he lost, and then he came back and would punish people.
Yes.
You know, like, Canelo hits with power.
I remember.
Even Pacquiao, for a little dude, hits with power.
De La Hoya always looks so intimidating when, like by, like, the sixth round, and his hair's all sweaty, and he had his face is all bruised. Like, his face bruised really easy.
But he just keeps coming.
And then, like, that's when he got scarier.
Yeah.
He was just like, this guy is like the Terminator. It's awesome, dude. Did you watch the dating us too, but whatever. Did you remember that TV show The Contender?
Yeah.
I love that show. It was like a reality show where they were trying to like find like the next big boxer, right? And Sugar Ray Leonard was like the host of that.
He was.
Yeah.
And there was a guy, this is gonna sound horrible. There was a guy that used to fight in Baltimore. He was on that show for a little bit. I think they changed his nickname, but his nickname was the Ding-a-ling Man. And I'm telling you, Migs. We would go to Michael's 8th Avenue and like broadcast from these fights, and he was like Tyson, same build, like just scary.
Yeah.
And the Ding-a-ling Man would go out there.
That's a bad nickname for someone who's scary.
Yeah, right. Well, apparently it wasn't far off.
Oh.
Yeah. But he would just.
That's why he had the extra long shorts.
Yeah. He would just crush people. But then as he got bigger in the city, right, because I'm interning with Thrill on the sports show.
Uh-huh.
And I started working for him. Like, we would have him on the show. And, you know, I'm sure people know this, but like, before you have an interview during the commercial break, you call him or whatever.
Yeah.
So we've only interviewed him post fight. He's all jacked up. Then you call him and he's like, hello.
Oh, no.
Hey, man. Like, is this like, I don't know. We'll call him Charles. Is this Charles Dingling Man? Yeah, man, I'm at work. What do you do? And I work in IT.
Wow.
Right? He was like the most straight-laced, nerdy guy. Like, but in the boxing ring, he was just a menace.
Like, you forget that this person actually has to have like an actual day job.
Yeah, exactly. Right, because he's, you know, he's a low-ranked professional boxer.
It's like, dude, there's a guy in the world of wrestling. His name's Mance Warner. And he's like a hybrid of like Stone Cold Steve Austin meets like the Terry Funk, like old school wrestlers. He goes in there, he talks like, he's like, yeah, I'm going to crush a beer and I'm going to kick this person's butt, make y'all bleed. And he's always, you tell them old Mancher's coming down. Tell them I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach all over their face. Like, he's just that guy. He does that stuff at Defy as well. Love. Right. But he's extreme. And then somebody says, you know what Mancher does? You know what good old Mancher does as a day job? I'm like, I forget that these guys have day jobs. Like, I forget that this isn't enough to pay their bills just yet. And they're hoping one day it will be. I'm like, well, what does he do? And I'm figuring it's going to be like, oh, he does IT. He's like, oh, no, he's a counselor at a school. And I'm just like, what?
And he's like the extreme crazy guy.
He's bleeding face. I'll have to find a picture of him. Like, if you Google, dude, just Mance Warner, which is I'm sure that's not his real name. And I don't even think anyone on here. Perfect picture I just found right there. This guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you recognize him.
He's awesome. One of the nicest guys. I love the dude, but he is a certifiable nutcase in the ring. Bleeding all the time, doing crazy stuff, and you know, stuff with mouse traps getting slamming on his tongue. And I'm like, this guy is giving advice and helping the future kids of America. It's incredible. Like, I want to know, I want to meet these kids, and how many of them know, or do none of them know? Because I don't know if he makes it public that he's, like, you know, a counselor.
Probably not.
Yeah. Like, I mean, enough people know, because I didn't find out from him. I found
out. Well, I'm saying he probably doesn't tell the school or the kids.
Right. Like, old Mancher's going to go beat some people's asses this weekend, but don't forget to think about your future.
I will say, though, to his credit, somebody that can turn it on as a character and not, like, because, look, whether it's radio, wrestling, sometimes people get lost in their quote-unquote character.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of respect that. Like, he probably makes a good counselor because he knows he can do it for show without, like, losing himself in it, being a maniac.
And probably gets a lot of aggression out over the weekends in his wrestling matches that by the time Monday comes around, old Mancher is feeling real good and calm.
Well, people like opposites.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like there's a lot of NFL guys who their favorite sport to watch is Premier League soccer.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you know the name Harry Kane?
It's soccer player?
Yeah. So he played at Tottenham. He's the captain of the English national team, right? A tremendous footballer. He just signed a massive deal with Bayern Munich. And I saw an interview with him the other day, and he's like, oh, when I'm done with soccer, I'm going to try my hand at kicking in the NFL. Like, he's still... He's one of the greatest soccer players on the planet right now. And he, in the back of his head, it's like, oh, I want to go chase that dream.
What's my plan B?
TED Talks. Starring B-Tex Smith.
Steve, today's TED Talk is one word.
What?
Communication.
Communicate.
I think we see it in personal relationships.
Too many punches to the head there, Mickey Ward. Right.
He's losing it right now. Anybody that's ever had any type of romantic relationship knows how big communication is, right? Like, we see it at work, even just within your family. I mean, you know, like, the point is, like, sometimes you just got to just call people and just tell them.
Yeah.
And just communicate. And, like, I always talk about reaching out and saying hey to a friend or whatever. This is the same thing. You know, just, it's not always going to be easy or enjoyable, but, like, tell people what you're feeling. Like, you don't have to do it all the time, right? I'm not saying go 0 to 100.
Right. You don't have to pick the hills you're willing to die on.
Yeah.
Pick your battles every once in a while. But if there's something that's, like, kind of getting under your skin, say something. Otherwise, they don't know.
Exactly.
That's how, so often I'm like, whenever, like, I'll talk to some buddies in the world of wrestling, they're like, this promoter doesn't want to use me because of X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, have you ever hit them up? No, but they know I'm available. I'm like, well, you're not, if you're not willing to talk to them and you're assuming that they're mad at you, they might not even think, you're not even on their radar. Like, yeah, you owe it to them to at least reach out first. And then if they're a jerk to you, then yes, you have a reason to be upset with them.
And I would say, right, and on the flip side, sometimes too, like, you got to ask somebody to help you.
Yeah.
You can't just bitch at them at the end. If they don't know, then they can't be like, oh, I'll help you with this.
Right. No, that makes sense. Dude, we even talked about it this morning during the morning show on BJ and Migs. Somebody texted in and was just like, hey, how do I get my husband to stop spending our money all the time and doing it behind my back and making up lies, saying that, like, you know, he's like, oh, I bought this truck part for my friend for $1,500. Then I find out that he actually bought it from a store for, like, a couple $1,000s. And I'm like, dude, you might have to look internally. Are you giving him crap all the time for making purchases? And if you are, he might just be sick of having to kind of explain why he's making certain purchases. I'm not saying it's right, but I've been that person where I'm like, I don't feel like having to be given crap for spending my money that I worked hard for because, you know, I'm being told, oh, that's too expensive. Why are you buying that? I'm like, well, I can afford it. Now, if you can't afford it, obviously that's a problem. But, like, there's a good chance he's lying or just keeping something from you because you make him feel bad every time that he tries to buy something. And that's communication right there. Like, he needs to be better also. Like, he can't be hiding from it. But, like, I understand why someone would be that way.
Communication.
Communication. It's very, very important. It's so funny. We always joke about in the radio industry. Sometimes you're just like, did that person? No. Like, it's crazy how we are in a business of communication, and sometimes people just don't communicate.
Oh, it's unreal. Now, look, I worked bars, and then I was a janitor at the AFL-CIO. So obviously, you know, in the union and stuff, like, you know what's going on.
Right.
Or you can go talk to somebody. But it's always blown my mind in this industry. And it's always like, people tell each other, like, keep this secret, keep that secret. It's like, well, the whole industry is full of people that talk. So nothing really stays secret. But no. it drives me up a wall. And then, like, look, I do it. Like, there's certain times where, like, well, why didn't this get done? Like, what? You didn't email me.
Right.
That simple.
If I knew I had to do it, I would have done it.
Right?
It's like that in the home life, the work life, friend life. Right. We can't just expect that people are reading our minds.
No.
And I even said, like, sometimes when I'm like, oh, man, this person, I have to remind myself of that because I think I battle that kind of like in a sense of anxiety of like, this person clearly doesn't give a crap about me. I wasn't even invited to that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I never see this person. They might not even know I wanted to go to that thing. You know, it's like, it's the old joke of like, I'm mad I wasn't invited to the party. Would you have gone to the party? No, but I just wanted to know that I was invited to the party. And I'm like, I got to a point where I'm like, maybe they just assumed he's not coming to the party. Why even invite him? And I should stop thinking like they're out to get me.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know why that your brain does that. Dude, I've been trying to be better about that. Like, and it's funny. I'm like, I say I'm reading a book, but I'm listening to a book. I'm trying to be that guy.
Hey, that counts.
Thank you. I argue about this all the time where I'm like, if I went through a book, read it, or had it talked to me, audiobook, I still know what the book is about. So wouldn't that constitute reading a book?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I didn't read it, but it's a lot easier to say, hey, I read this book as opposed to I listened to this audiobook of this. You know what I mean? It's just like, hey, So I'm reading one of those, it's like something like Un-F Your Brain. And it breaks a lot of things down to like the simplest stuff. And I'm like, oh man, I didn't even think of it that way. And I'm trying to be better at that. And I'm getting like, there's two books I'm going back and forth between that both have the F word in them because that's just me. I was like, well, that looks interesting. And one of them was just like, you know, your human emotions usually technically only last 90 seconds. We choose to let them go on longer than that. So like whatever you're feeling, obviously there's certain things that are just heartbreaking, but like on the whole, like you're mad at someone, really your body and your mind are only telling you to be upset for about 60 to 90 seconds. But then what do? We keep reliving it and making it worse and worse and worse. Now we're having arguments in our brain with that person. I was like, never thought about it that way. But yeah, I'm guilty of that all the time in the shower.
Oh, I was doing it last night.
Right.
I laid in bed at like midnight.
Uh-huh.
And laid there running over scenarios that have not happened, that I have no idea, for an hour. And then I just was like, what am I doing? I will say this. I have a buddy. His dad has been very successful in different businesses, right? Yeah. And this was only like 2 or 3 years ago, right? So, I mean, I'm already 40 or turning 40, and I was bitching about something, and he just looked at me. He goes, you have a right to be angry about that. He goes, what you need to learn to do is to give it its time.
Yes.
Like, if you want to go off, he goes, even if 45 minutes or an hour, okay. He goes, but just put it down at that point. Don't let it consume. And that took me a long time to learn, especially at work. There was stuff that would bug me. And then I realized, like, well, my boss he's not sitting at home sweating it.
No.
Why am I letting it ruin my entire weekend?
He probably has zero thought about it.
Yeah.
But in your head, like, you're thinking, like, they're out to get me right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's at home at dinner with, like, you know, his wife or his friend. And just like, how can we conspire to F-10 over again? And no one's really doing that. But our brain's telling us that it is.
Yeah.
And over the book, reading The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I've heard of that one.
It's actually been so far so good.
I mean, look, I read that Geronimo book, but it took me a while, and I have a slight learning disability. So, like, reading, it takes me a minute to read stuff, but that's only because I started commuting on the train every day, and I had a dedicated spot to sit there and read, like, a chapter or two a day.
See, for me, I've got that long drive home, and I'm at the point where I'm like, I can only listen to so many wrestling podcasts. Like, at some point, like...
I think that's a great idea.
So, I'm trying that. But there are some, like... Some of the authors read the book themselves, and some of them aren't very good at, like, when they get that subtle art of not giving up, they have like a voice actor or like someone who they paid to like narrate it, and he's great. But then I was reading another book where the woman was reading it, and it was just like, it was almost like I was reading it myself. Like, I'd find myself zoning out like I used to do when I'd read a book, and I have to go back like three chapters because I forgot what I even read.
Yeah, or you just scan through it.
Yes, yeah. I'm doing that with this. I'm like just driving, zoning out, and I'm like, I don't know what she just said. I got to rewind it now a good 7 minutes. But it's interesting. The craziest part, what I've learned about these audiobook things, I never thought about it this way. It tells you how long the book is. Because, you know, it's a piece of audio that you rent. Like, I'm actually using a library app called Libby, where if you have a library card. So it's free. So I don't have to buy these audiobooks. you can just stream them for free. Like, they have wait lists because there's only X amount of people can stream them at a certain amount of times, which I think is kind of odd because of the world we're in, but whatever. But then they'll say, this book is 5 hours long. And I'm like, huh. Yeah, I never thought that I could read a book in 5 hours. To me, a book takes like 5 months.
Oh, man. I know. When we got back from vacation, Thurl was talking about reading like one and a half books.
Huh?
And I was like, dude, I'm jealous. I can't read that fast.
I don't have that kind of patience.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like maybe a couple chapters in a night when I did read a book, and then I'd set it down for a couple of days and then come back to it. And then I'd forget what I read, so I'd have to go back a chapter and start a book.
I know. We're the same way. I get fidgety.
Yeah.
That's what's nice about, like, last week I was in Montana, and there was always something to do, whether it's jump in a lake, play some cornhole, or drive into town, or you know me, I love running the grill.
Yeah.
So, like, right, and it was funny, like, my phone was like, you only averaged 20-some minutes last week on your phone, and I was like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, well, yeah, because I just didn't even look at, I mean, hell, to the service is a little spotty, but.
Dude, are you that way? Like, I get nervous when I get that alert every week. When it says,
oh, how high is it?
Like, did I go down? And I get so fired up whenever I go down below X amount of hours.
Oh,
I'm just
yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I chopped down.
Oh,
an hour
like
a day.
3 hours.
Oh, I'm worse than that.
Or like 3.5. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm usually like, I think around 6.
All right. Yeah. When it's well, yeah. Also, use it for work too.
And I also use like I you know, going to work and coming back. My phone is technically being used for podcasts or audiobooks. So that GPS.
So the car I got is an old car. I can't figure out how to get the radio to work. And just don't email in. The guy who owned the car can't figure it out. Like, so like when I was like this summer, I took a couple road trips down to Portland. Same thing. I just throw on my Pandora, the tailgate radio station.
Yeah, buddy.
And then that next week, it's like, you averaged 7 hours. Like, what in the F was I doing? And I'm like, oh, because it was on the whole time I was driving around.
Yeah, you check the breakdown and be like, okay, I was only on Twitter for 10 minutes today. I did pretty good. That's a victory. Come on. Oh, I'm sorry, X.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. This is
the Ted Smith's
Wide World of Sports.
Brought to you by
Smith Family Popcorn. Good people, great popcorn.
Greatest sponsor that's not really a sponsor.
I was going to say. In association with Smith Family Beer Garden.
You too can advertise on our podcast if you're related to one of us.
My cousin Carly, she got married, and this is her second marriage, so they were having a small ceremony, but they had the like reception up in Cape Cod at the Smith Family Beer Garden. So it was
nice.
I was in Montana, so I didn't go, but it was a big weekend for the Smiths and the beer garden. Plus, I think that's got to help business when you got all the short, little, bald, chubby dudes running around telling jokes.
So they had the wedding there?
So they did the wedding separate.
Okay.
And then just like, hey, like, we're not, like, they had both been married before, like, he has a kid. So they were just like, we'll have, like, a very low-key reception.
Nice.
Like, you would have loved it. Like, Cape Cod, right? Mid-August or, you know, late August, like no dress code. It's literally in a beer garden.
That's
if
awesome.
You want to show up, cool. If not, no worries.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was kind of bummed I missed it, but man, Montana is just awesome.
I still have to get there.
You haven't been over?
I've only driven through it and stayed a night there when I was moving from New York to Seattle. And the only thing I remember about Montana was that the tap water was actually pretty good.
Do like, you ever fish?
No, man.
Like, never? Then he was a kid?
I mean, I think, yeah. But these days, no. You know, being a plant-based weirdo, I don't eat it. So, it's, there's no, oh, I want to do it. But I did when I was a kid.
We stayed in a town called Polson on Flathead Lake, which is one of the biggest lakes, like, east of the Mississippi, or west of the Mississippi. I love swimming and stuff, but, like, one of the last days we were there, I brought my buddy, he likes to fish. So, we went down there, Steve, you've never fished like this. I mean, literally, like, throw it in, catch it. I mean, we just perch, but, like, throw it in, catch one, toss it back. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Damn.
My buddy's 4-year-old daughter caught one. She didn't even know what she was doing. She just started reeling and was like, Francis, I think you got a fish.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I bet she was fired up.
Oh, beyond fired up.
Man, because sometimes you're like, this could be a valuable lesson of disappointment to a child. Because we did we went to a car show real quick, sorry.
All right.
But we went to a car show and they had Tatum loves Legos. And they had a Lego set that she saw. And she's like, Daddy, I want that. Now, if it was a store, I'd just buy it for her. But this was a raffle. So I'm like, I don't know if we can get it. She's like, we have to win it. She's like, well, Daddy, I want to win it. I'm like, well, in order to win it, we have to buy raffle tickets.
Daddy bought. I was gonna say, Daddy bought raffle.
So Daddy bought like $10 of raffle tickets, and then and then Grandpa he bought $5 of raffle tickets. So now we had raffle tickets, and each item had its own raffle. So you put it in the box for whatever the item was that you wanted to win. So we just put all 15 or whatever it was. Like I think it was like you get 6 tickets for $5, so 6, 12, 18. We had like 18 raffle tickets. Put them all just into the Lego box and hope for the best. Auction. I mean, the raffle's now going, and I'm just standing there, dude, sweating. Like, man, she's so fired up. She's got all the confidence in the world that she's going to win this, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm just like, man, if we don't win this, do I promise to buy her one? Like, this is now another moment of Dad needs to learn how to be a father. You know, how do I explain disappointment? I don't really want to, but like, I'm going to have to. And so I'm waiting and waiting, and then they pull out a ticket. Somebody didn't rip up their tickets. So when they pulled out the ticket out of the box, it was the whole strand. And I'm like, so I was like, oh, F. Like, we're not that. I know I ripped all the tickets before I put them in the box. Well, then the person who pulled it out of the box got annoyed with that. It's like, you got to rip your tickets in order to, like, for it to count. So then that person ripped them all. I'm like, well, he's just going to grab the one that's. And then he put them all back in there. Shook it back up.
I would think the first one would have been the winner.
That's what I thought, Ted.
All right, so he shakes it back up.
Puts it all back in there, reads the number. It's like 951. And I'm looking, I got 940, 940. And I'm looking, the very last ticket that I have, 951. Ted, my wife even said, she's like, it looked like you won the lottery. I was like, oh, like that. And I'm like, Tatum, we won. She's like, yeah. Now she's like jumping up and down, yelling the entire area at this car show in Puyallup. They're all cheering. They're like, oh, it's so adorable. Look at this kid. And they're probably like, look at the crazy dad. He's jumping up and down too. Oh, it was the best feeling, dude. So it kind of made me think of that with the fish. Like, it was like, oh. I was like, one more number down.
So is this good or bad as a dad?
You know,
now
right.
She's going to think every time you enter a raffle, she gets to win.
You're right. Dad's got to buy a lot of raffle tickets.
Right.
And the one nice thing, which was like a feel-good moment, that after she won, she's like, can we go back and watch the rest of the raffle? I want to see if Alex and Ariana win their prizes. So the other kids. And I'm like, are we going there to rub it in that you won because you're holding this Lego? Like, and thankfully, they won theirs.
Oh,
and
nice.
She was fired up for them. So I was like, okay, at least this kid's got still a heart of gold, you know?
I still like, too, that you're at a car show in Puyallup. Because any Saturday in the summer I've been in Puyallup, it always looks like there's a car show going on.
There is. This one was, like, right down our house, right by, like, this church right next to the church that my wife goes to that's right next to the Safeway on Shaw Road.
All right.
Yeah. Tatum, like, and it's great. These people, everyone that had the cars on, they were so nice. I've never been to a car show. I don't know.
You know what? I went to the Greenwood car show this summer. I had never really go to car shows. I was super impressed. I was like, so fun. This is awesome.
I get it now. I never understood it, but it's just a fun chance to hang out with everyone, show off what you love, which is your car. I was so nervous about my kid touching any of these cars. Some of them were from 1930. I'm like, don't touch it. Don't mess up the paint. But then one person saw my kid looking at their green car and was just like, did she want to go inside of it and sit in it? I'm like, I'm pretty sure she would. And then Tatum's like, yeah, I do. So that was cool.
I remember, I'll get this for you real quick. A few years ago, I'm living in Belltown and there's a firehouse like a block over. And I'm like, and there's like these little alleys that are just for buses, but they had closed it off and all the fire trucks are in there. It's obviously for families and stuff, but like, I'm like coming back from like Dan's little market or whatever. So it's like 10 a.m. and they're just starting. And like, I start looking around, I'm like, oh, that's cool looking. And one of the firemen was like, there's nobody here, bud. You want to, I was like, do you mind? And he's like, oh man, you can hop in there. I'm like, thanks, dude. And like, I'm like taking selfies.
See, firefighters are heroes.
Firefighters are hard to, and granted, I grew up, the guy across the street was a firefighter, but I love hanging with firefighters.
Can you spot a firefighter from a mile away?
I don't know if I could say a mile, but they're, I could spot them.
Yeah, like at the gym, there's certain guys. And even like one time, like we were somewhere and we met someone that Sid does CrossFit with. And she showed me, he's like, oh, that's the guy out there. He does CrossFit. I'm like, and after we walked away, I'm like, is he a firefighter? She's like, yes. How'd you know? And I'm like, the mustache.
I was going to say,
he had the firefighter stash. You know, there's that certain style of stash.
You could tell. Yeah. And generally, they're intimidating, but like some of the nicest dudes and women you'll meet.
Most of the dudes I met at the gym that are firefighters, at first, I'm like, this guy just looks like he wants to hurt me. And then I start talking to him. I'm like, this guy's awesome.
Yeah.
And always a firefighter. Sick mustache, nice muscles.
All right. First of all, good news. Since we've been gone, the Mariners just don't lose. Well, they lost last night, but they just stopped losing.
Maybe we needed to not do the podcast, because when we were doing the podcast, they hovered around 500. Now they're your first place.
75 and 57, first place in the AL West.
Unbelievable. Teoscar Hernandez batting over 260. I won another bet with BJ because he didn't think he was going to get over 250 again. And here he is sitting at 264, Ted.
And Julio Rodriguez is that good.
Oh, MVP season.
He is just that good. I keep forgetting it's his second full season.
It's insane, dude.
Yeah. So he's on fire. Mariners are on fire. Sounders, still.
And they didn't lose.
They didn't lose. Look, I was at Ace Hardware this morning, and then one guy had on a jersey. And I was like, can you help me find something? And he's like, yeah. And I go, you think we'll ever, like, get 3 points again? And he just started laughing. He's like, man, I hope so. Other than that, the big news is the Mariners.
Yes.
So I should say that.
Dude. It's been so much fun. They are the hottest team in baseball.
Correct. And everybody's talking about them.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, because I watch the replay sometimes of Pardon the Interruption at like 11 at night or midnight or 11:30. And like, right, Tony Kornheiser was making the argument that he should be the MVP, not Otani. But he's like, and I agree, MVP should be what you do for your team.
I'm always
Otani is an unbelievable player, but it's like the Angels suck.
Right, right. Like, is this person making your team better?
Yeah. But college football, they called it week zero last week. I was very happy to watch the real games. Look, I watched preseason too, but it was nice to watch college football games that mattered. This weekend, Labor Day weekend, you got some, Sunday afternoon, who is it? Florida State and some, like there's a massive game on Sunday, and there's a couple games on Saturday. I know the Huskies, their campaign this weekend.
What are they in now? Technically,
the
Pac-15?
They're in the Pac-12 right now, next year they'll be one of Maryland's rivals in the Big Ten.
Oh!
Yeah.
So does that mean they'll play against each other?
So they're going to be in a different division.
Gotcha.
But every like 3 or 4 years, Maryland football should be in Seattle.
How fired up are you for that?
I can't. Well, in hoops, they'll come out every year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't wait. That's, and it's kind of weird. It's like, I go to a lot of Husky games and we'll wear purple, but like, you're in the same conference.
Uh-oh. Like, I think that's Ted, but I've never seen Ted not wear purple and gold. Right. This is not the Ted that we know and love.
Then other than that, you know, NFL's done preseason, so you just got to watch.
Biggest story, Ted.
Oh, Bobo?
Hashtag more Bobo. It's happening.
I wanted
Jake Bobo, baby.
I wanted Aesop to make the team, though. Oh. The kid out of Washington State, the other wide receiver.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. Yes.
So that, like, but I was like, I like that kid. I thought he had a chance there.
But the Bobo story has been just amazing.
Oh, but you can't stop the Bobo train.
Yeah.
I mean, what if FCTP last night was like, he's a legend or something. And I was like, Matt, hang on. Let's see him in the regular season before we call him legend status.
There are so many like superstar preseason players that once the season starts, more often than not, they're quarterbacks. You'll see that. And you're like, that's the future. And then you're like, where the hell did that guy go? He's not even on the XFL.
Well, that's what's tough about the preseason.
Yeah.
Is you got to keep in mind, like, there's a lot of people not playing.
Yeah.
But then also sometimes like coaches are just running certain plays or schemes.
That's a good point.
Just to see how it'll work. They don't really care. You know what I mean? Like, they don't.
They're just practicing plays.
They're just practicing plays.
But I would not be surprised to see a handful of Jake Bobo jerseys in Lumen Field.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he really did like capture the hearts of the Seahawks. And obviously, there's a lot to love about this team. There's some people projecting that they're going to win the NFC West, which is like crazy to think, you know, which is awesome. But like, that Bobo story was just like, because he's not a very fast runner. He barely got under 5.
I know.
Right? Like, I was just like, it's insane to hear. He's an undrafted rookie out of UCLA. And
you ever timed a 40?
No.
So I did like freshman football and JV football. We timed 40s. I ran a 6.9 and a 6.7.
I don't think I would even get to that. I think I'd be over 7, man.
I mean, you're right.
Yeah. I think I'm as good of a runner as I am a bowler, and that's not good.
Yeah, I've picked up my bowling habits.
Although we went to a bowling place called Round One in the South Hill Mall, Tatum, right. which was hilarious watching her bowl because they, you know, the bumpers go up and then they got this giant like dinosaur apparatus that's like,
you put the ball you just push
on,
it off.
And it just, but she was carrying the ball. Like, I was impressed. Like, she was loving it. But I didn't, I was lazy, so I was just using the ball that my wife grabbed, which was like really light, but all right, my fingers barely fit in it. So I almost had to like pinch the holes. This sounds bad out of context. I threw like four strikes.
Oh, nice.
One after another after another. My wife's like, I thought you said you suck at bowling. I'm like, just wait. And then eventually, I still didn't bowl over. I think I got like a 150. And that was like a...
Oh, my God. That's
best I've ever bowled.
Yeah, I was fired up. I was going to say I bowled a 134.
I think it was either 150 or 125. I'll have to double check it because I hate to lie and make you feel beneath me, Ted.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
That's just another reason I feel beneath
here
you.
Here we go. There we are. Where's our scores? Okay. I bowled a 150.
Yeah. Good on you, dude.
How about Tatum bowled a 72?
Man, that's... Oh, you kicked the crap out of your wife.
Oh, I crushed her.
God, I was all proud of that 134 I bowled a couple weeks ago.
Dude, it was
Mixie comes out here with a 150.
You just pinch the holes, man. Pinch the holes. That's my tip for everybody. Pinch the holes.
Yeah, that's sports. I would say also it's Labor Day weekend. Get out there. Saturday should be nice. All right, have a little cloudy Sunday and Monday. So, like,
if you're going to Bumbershoot, I don't know if you are.
I am not.
Okay, well, if
are
anyone,
you going?
I am. Because I'm performing at Bumbershoot. Bumbermania.
Oh,
for the first time
wrestling.
Ever.
I was like, what band are you in now?
This is the craziest thing for me. I know we got to run, but the craziest thing. I think I'm the first person to ever do this because I've played music at Bumbershoot.
All right.
So I think I'm the, which is a very, very, very niche like stat, but first person to ever play drums and wrestle at Bumbershoot. Granted.
Play drums or play in a band and then wrestle?
That's true. Play in a band.
Has Fozzy ever played?
You know, that's a very good point.
That's the only other person I can think of that maybe has your
but
stat.
Did not wrestle at Bumbershoot.
What day are you wrestling?
Saturday and Sunday. So SOS Pro Wrestling is putting it on, and we're doing two shows each day. So one at 4:30 and one at 8 p.m. So if you're out and about, it's going to be right by the Space Needle, right by Mopop. You know, there's like that creamy-looking orange maze that's printed like on a parking lot area.
Oh, yeah, by like that weird park?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it's right by there. That's where they're going to put the ring. And so we're going to be like right underneath the Space Needle. And we're going to do, I'm going to wrestle one day on Saturday and then on Sunday. Both days, 4:30 and 8 p.m. are the shows. And one of the shows, I think mine on Sunday, like one will be regular wrestling with like who you are as a wrestler. And then the other show is a cosplay themed one. And it's all Seattle centric. So like they're going to have someone dressed as Jimi Hendrix. I think Ethan HD is going to be taking on this dude that's dressed.
Ethan.
He's going to be dressed as Macklemore. So, you know,
all right.
Then there's going to be like, you know, Paul Allen taking on Bill Gates or this guy taking on that guy. So for my cosplay, I'm going to be the man, the myth, the legend, number 8 for your Seattle Seahawks, Matt Hasselbeck. And I'm going to be
good
wrestling.
Because he's bald?
Yes.
You should let your Caesar ring grow out a little bit.
I was thinking that. I need to like keep that little
bit. Don't shave.
Yeah.
Right? It's already Wednesday. Don't shave the sides.
And I got to get the black liner under my eyes.
Oh, it's even easier now. So they just have the strips.
Oh, I got to go get one at Dick's.
Yeah.
That's a good call. And I already got off of eBay a Matt Hasselbeck jersey for like $20. So I just got that. So I'm excited about that. And who am I wrestling? Any guesses?
Is it another Seahawk?
Former Seahawk.
Lynch.
No. Think about it. We need a good guy and a bad guy. And obviously, people love Matt Hasselbeck.
Oh, the Boz.
No.
I don't know.
Russell Wilson.
Oh, that makes sense.
So the guy I'm wrestling, I hope he's going to have a Broncos Russell Wilson jersey on. And Matt Hasselbeck is going to beat the crap out of Russell Wilson.
You better win that one.
I know, right? I was trying. I waited too late, but I was going to bug our buddy Jose. Maybe I still can and be like, hey, what's Walter Jones doing on Sunday? And have Walter Jones bring me out to the ring.
Oh.
Walt, big Walt protecting Matt Hasselbeck.
That would be awesome.
And have him involved in the match. Walt's told me before he wants to come see me wrestle. This is the one.
I would hit him up tomorrow. And you got to, I don't like it. As long as we're talking fantasy, if you get Walt there, he's got to go in the center of the ring.
Yes.
And then you got to line up, right? Because he was a tackle, right?
Yeah.
So you got to line up two spots off him.
Yes.
Go, and I just, he's got to get a couple pass blocks.
Yes. How great would that be?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So that's
should go buy one of those crappy little kid footballs that's soft and just like toss it to the ground.
That's actually not a bad call.
Yeah. They're super cheap.
And I'm definitely going to get the whole Seahawk chant going. I'll hit him with a move and be like, Seahawks. Boom. Seahawks. Boom. So if you're going to Bumbershoot, I think on Saturday I'm wrestling as Steve Miggs, and I'll be the usual jerk that I am. But then on Sunday, I'm everybody's hero.
All right.
Seattle's biggest hero. Matt Hasselbeck. It's going to be great, dude.
That's awesome.
All right. I know we got to run.
Yep.
Dude, we gave him a hard 40.
Yeah, I know. We gave him. Hey. We didn't just put in the time. We put in the work.
We did. Overtime. For you. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back, I think, next week.
I'm here.
I mean, we're going to be here. We just don't know if we're going to record a podcast.
We are.
Oh, we are.